Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour back here on Cody and Gold. In 15 minutes, you'll hear from Harrison Butker, Chiefs kicker. He was on with Fesco in the morning. What did he have to say about how important Brett Veach has been to his career and what makes him confident that the Chiefs can repeat in 2021? But is it more challenging to repeat than it would be in another scenario because of the current climate we are all living in right now, the impact it has on the NFL offseason, Cody? The draft might now, there's a chance at least, GMs are recommending that the draft does not happen less than a month from now on its originally scheduled date. It'll be in studio, we all know that, on television, but there was that report from Adam Schefter that the draft could maybe move out of the month of April, and if it happened, his idea was to have each round of the NFL draft on a separate night and give us seven crazy nights of NFL draft round by round. If the NFL draft's not going to have the normal offseason workouts and the scouting that goes with it, even with technology, I mean, the two moves the Chiefs just made yesterday, minor moves, Mike Pinnell re-signing him, re-signing Anthony Sherman, it's not a terrible time to be in the position the Chiefs are in, just in terms of, you know, you don't have a ton of money to go bring in new talent. Right now, they don't have a ton of draft picks, and I'm not advocating that, hey, I wouldn't rather have the Chiefs have 10 picks than five. Of course not, but just there's some value in having guys that are familiar with your system even more than we typically would already assume.
No, I think it's a pretty sizable advantage. Now, we can't really know until all this thing plays out, but I honestly think this is a pretty sizable advantage for Kansas City because there's no scouting. Not the scouting the way it used to be. Sure, you can watch all the college tape, crunch on that for a while, and yeah, we're about to find out how valuable those meetings that teams carefully pick out are. But I think there's a pretty good chance we're going to have no mini camp, no OTAs, no off-season workouts, which means all you're going to get to do is look at an iPad. I mean, yesterday, there was a video of a Kansas football coach posting stuff for quarterbacks, only to then be contacted by Kurt Warner to tell him how he could look at, only to be contacted by Kurt Warner to teach him how he could be doing a better job teaching quarterbacks. So it's not even like one problem solved. I mean, a lot of these coaches are going to have a hard time switching over to a fully technology end-based learning system, specifically because quarterback is so hands-on, or wide receiver, because like, oh, I got to show you to move your hips, do this. What do you do? Sending videos to those guys? So in a normal year, when I would say just break up with players, you know, there's a lot of times after Super Bowl, after any season, there are probably 10 players in your roster that are expendable for every NFL team at the end of every season. You know, especially when they start getting too high priced. In a year where they win the Super Bowl, maybe let a couple guys go, I'm maybe not there the way I used to be, because I feel like having an established team with players who know what they're doing is going to be a bigger advantage this year than it has ever been in the NFL.
And I also wonder, you know, there's danger in with running things back, but I don't consider even like the two minor moves that they just made, like Mike Pinnell, I think a lot of people wanted him back in a Chiefs uniform and saw the impact he would have. Plus, we haven't seen the dollar amounts. He's going to get a bump in pay, no doubt. He deserves it, but it's not going to be significant. Anthony Sherman, who knows, is that going to be close to, you know, to like the vet minimum? I have no idea, a little bit above that. if on a one-year deal. Like those aren't even the ones where I'm wouldn't have been overly concerned about. I think when I'm talking about like running it back and the danger of doing that, it would be it is with guys like Sammy Watkins. It is with guys, and not necessarily with Chris Jones, but veteran players that are going to have plenty of interest from other teams that are out there and just kind of going status quo with everything. And we've talked a lot about what the rest of the AFC is doing and how the Ravens are being aggressive and how the Chiefs are not. And this is another reason why I'm not as concerned. I think this offseason is a lot different than what we've seen in the past, not just because of the Chiefs team coming off a Super Bowl championship, but because of the reason we mentioned where you're not going to have the access to get as much information as you had in the past firsthand. And you're going to also learn, I think, what young players, whether it's in the draft, whether it's just young players in your own team, who's able to have, you know, the ability. Some people are more visual than others and able to pick up things quicker. You brought up the video scenario. Yeah. Like, how are you supposed to teach somebody? We'll find out. And the advantage is going to be to some of these young guys, if you draft them, that are able to learn visually versus actually having to have someone do it to, you know, in front of them or for them actually do it themselves. I think there's going to be a learning curve that's tougher than maybe in the past, but also an advantage if you feel like, you know, some of your guys are better as truly visual learners. We hear that all the time, whether it's sports or not. I think there's clearly, even for those people at home that are trying to get their kids to learn right now, Cody, you know, I know your kids are pretty young, but they're trying to do the e-learning stuff. Like, there's going to be an advantage for some people over others with that, and I think it also equates to football.
Look, my kids are young. Desmond's not in school because he's only one, but Ruby is. And we already have, like, packets on the way, and we have to they're trying to work out ways to do video conferencing for like speech therapy. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be different than it's ever been in a lot of regard, but for Kansas City, this is actually an advantage, because if everyone's playing in this, then the team who knows themselves the best will have the best advantage. Then all that you're trying to dodge is performance decline. And for the players you just talked about, Sammy Watkins, I mean, we're talking about performance decline. He was a 650-yard receiver last year, or at least below 700. Okay, Chris Jones, performance decline. Now, that's not coming this year. They bring him back. It's not this season that you would expect his performance to decline. That would be after the age of 30 that you would anticipate a normal NFL player having that kind of dip in production. So Kansas City's in kind of an unusual place. Also, by the way, I do think this gives Chris Jones more value. And I don't think he needs more value. I think there's more than enough value to just sign him as we sit right now. But it definitely gives him even more value, because do you really want to try to be learning even more things inside of that? It's either that or you go after veteran players who've been in enough systems that can figure it out. Maybe another missed opportunity on a guy like Darius Slay, whose contract numbers came out today. Remember we talked about his deal, gold being $50 million. Boy, that's a lot. Just in general, for a guy who's 29, oh man, that deal is impossibly good. He's owed $4.3 million this year. That's nothing. He's owed $15.7 million next year. That's about where decent corners get paid in any given year. You can't cut him because the dead cap will cost you more than normal. But then the following year, while he's owed $19.7 million, he can be cut, and you can save $13 with a 6.5 dead cap hit. And then in 2023, in year four, when he's like 33, he's a $20 million debt. He's a $20 million cap hit. You're like, well, that sucks. He's 17.5 to save. He's only a $3 million cap hit to keep, so or to cut. So, like, there are deals to be had, I think, from veteran guys who could pick up a system quickly. But having your guys around for the first time in a long time, I might be a little more inclined to hold on to players I might let go in other years. Now, I think they're kind of stuck with Watkins. And I think you guys talked about the Robbie Anderson deal yesterday coming in for 2 for $20. That deal, plus Bashaud Perriman's deal yesterday coming in at $8 million, $6 million of which was guaranteed, to me establishes enough of a market around Sammy Watkins to know that he's worth somewhere between $7 and $10 million a season. He's owed $7 million this year, no matter what gold. So if he'll take a pay cut anywhere down to $10 million, you're probably not going to find a wide receiver better for him in the market for $3 million. Not likely. I would call it extremely unlikely, as a matter of fact.
And this is why kind of waiting longer than we thought. Here we are getting ready to be a week from when we thought maybe they would have made the decision to cut Sammy Watkins, or the restructure announcement at the start of the league year and everything. By waiting here, you've allowed Sammy Watkins. While you as the Chiefs, if you're Brett Veach, you may have known that this was right how the wide receiver market was going to go, and you anticipated that, as we've discussed in the past, in fact, earlier in the show. But maybe Sammy Watkins and an agent didn't believe it, or they wanted to see, and rightfully so, what it would look like before they agreed to a certain type of restructure. Now you do know. You're right. Now you absolutely know what that wide receiver market's going to be if you are Sammy Watkins. Robbie Anderson, 2 years and $20 million, and then the Perriman signing. We've also just seen some of the even the Emmanuel Sanders contract down there in New Orleans with the Saints. And so you do know what the market is, and I think when it happened, you tweeted at me. I tweeted initially, you know, is Sammy Watkins willing to take that? And, I mean, we're about to find out. I think the answer at 2 years and 20 would have to be yes. And as far as take that, it would essentially be on that restructure. If you're Kansas City, all of a sudden $9 million doesn't seem like quite as big of an ask towards Sammy Watkins based on what you know the market is. And, yes, Sammy Watkins will be a guy that teams are very interested in, but the idea of him getting north of $11 million or $10.5 million just isn't going to be there anymore. And so I think the Chiefs have played this very well, and I agree with you. There is a very good chance now that he ends up back in Kansas City, and the fact that Robbie Anderson's 2 years 20 is, to me, the bigger reason why, even more so than what Perriman, for example, is getting there with the New York Jets, who I have no idea why on earth they're doing that instead of trying to find a way to keep Robbie Anderson.
Well, they obviously should have kept Robbie Anderson, but Perriman is essentially Sammy Watkins. I don't know how to break this to people, because Sammy Watkins is like a playoff hero, and I'm not saying I would obviously take Sammy Watkins over Perriman on the Chiefs for a number of reasons. One, he's a better scheme fit, but for a lot of reasons, because I think he's a slightly better wide receiver. But Perriman only had 25 less yards than Sammy Watkins last year, on like 30 less targets. So, you know, before we start just knocking down the Perriman deal, because he got $8 million, Robbie Anderson is definitely $2 million better than Perriman. So, yeah, why didn't they just sign Robbie Anderson? I don't know. Maybe Anderson wanted to bounce. That doesn't solve it. But Kansas City is still going to be stuck in a place where they have to overpay Sammy Watkins based on production. And I know Perriman's production all came in this, like, microcosm of after two guys who were injured went down in what is clearly the most pass-happy offense in the NFL last season in the Bucs. But again, 30 less targets than Sammy Watkins for almost identical production. Watkins is who he is. I don't think there's like some mystery about who he is. If you got to pay him $10 million for 1 year, whatever, because you're going to have to pay him $7 million anyway, but I mean, before, you know, like, Perriman's deal feels like that's the number you should be asking for Sammy Watkins. How are they not similarly priced if they're getting similar production?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get him at that exact price. What do you say, 1 year $7 million or 1 year $8
million? Eight. Yeah, why not? I mean, why won't Watkins just take $1 million more than he's going to get if he gets cut?
Yeah, and I think if you are the Chiefs, it's just with the market and made it realistic that you can maybe get him in that 9.5 to 10.5 range or $9 to $10 million range. I still think he gets more, whether it's in Kansas City or elsewhere. I think he still gets more than Perriman. Maybe it's, you know, and I haven't seen the details on the Perriman deal, how much of that is, you know, if
six.
There's any incentives on top of the $8 million.
Six is guaranteed.
To get there. But yeah, $6 million is guaranteed. Okay, there you go. And so, I mean, the first five games for Perriman, 3 catches, 16 yards, no touchdowns, and a guy that, you know, ended up with virtually the same numbers as Sammy Watkins and had a nice bounce-back season. Remember, he's been on – Perriman's now on his third or fourth team since he's been in the NFL. I mean, there is something to be said for a guy that was just on a
Super Bowl
team.
Whoa, Watkins is on his, like,
had a great
fourth
postseason.
Team, too.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, Breshad Perriman is a little bit younger player, and I feel like he's already been – I have to look at the exact team differential, but I believe he's been on as many teams as Watkins, and he's younger.
Watkins has been on three teams. He spent three in Buffalo, one in L.A., two in Kansas City. And Perriman, you're right, started his career, if you remember, with the Ravens, and had almost 500 yards in his rookie year, which is, you know, Mecole Hardman-like. It's a little bit below that. It's more like Chris Conley-like. But only started a single game for them that year. 2 years with Baltimore, one with Cleveland, one with Tampa Bay, and would, you know, now up, you know, in 2020, looks like he'll be in his fourth team. So, yes, he has bounced around quite a bit, and he's had some health stuff too and has never been a full-time starter. He only has 10 career starts versus Sammy Watkins. Watkins has a much better career. There's no doubt about that. But teams who talk themselves into this guy had a better career, they're pretty much the same age, by the way, Gold. They're not way younger. Perriman's 26 years old. Sammy Watkins is slightly older than that. But I do mean slightly. He's also, he's about a half year older. So based on age and production, Watkins has been much better. But Perriman should, for other NFL teams, come close to kind of setting a market for him, just because otherwise you're lying to yourself. You're setting too high a standard for Sammy Watkins, which is what every NFL team has done since he had 1,000 yards in year two on 124 targets, which is an impossible amount and certainly not a number that, you know, the Chiefs are ever going to give him, or really any NFL team is going to give a wide receiver like that. Again, teams just don't, you know, they're not going to hand out that kind of target numbers to him. For instance, in peak year for Tyreek Hill, he got 137 targets. So around that, you know, a little bit better than that number, but had 1,400 yards to show for it, not 1,003.
So Kansas City has, I think, a better feeling. So does Sammy Watkins, maybe more importantly, a better feeling of what that wide receiver market's going to be. And now maybe things happen a little bit quicker on that route. I still don't think the Pinnell and Anthony Sherman signings are the reason why all of a sudden things get sped up. Like, if we were to get an answer on Sammy Watkins' future tonight, let's say, or tomorrow morning, I think it's more about what just happened with Robbie Anderson and maybe Perriman as well, as far as something moving a little bit quicker. I guess I'm a little bit more patient than some people about how the Chiefs have operated. Like, I don't think it's as if, oh my gosh, now that we're seeing it's the market's coming back to Kansas City, they got to pounce on a couple guys that are out there and make these decisions now. I think they've been playing this right. To me, it's been just fine so far, especially if all of a sudden it ends in the end result of Chris Jones getting a contract extension and staying in Kansas City for the long term.
Well, I love that. I mean, if all of it leads to that, then you're not going to hear a complaint out of me. But if they took all this time, let some good value free agents at positions of need walk, and then it still leads to Chris Jones leaving, I might not feel so good about it. If I'm being honest, I'm not going to nitpick everything the Chiefs do, but also just because they won the Super Bowl doesn't mean we can't be critical. And I'm not saying you're being this way, but I think there's somebody like, well, they won the Super Bowl. Everything they do is right. No, everything they did last year is right. They got to keep doing things right this year. I think it was you, Serta, who had even voiced a bit of frustration over, like, it seemed like the wide receiver market and some other markets, you know, cornerback and others that would help the Chiefs have been kind of quiet. And you said that dreaded phrase of, I just don't want this to be like with Aaron Rodgers, where they stopped putting talent around him for a couple of years after they got the Super Bowl. And that should be a real concern, shouldn't it, Serta?
Yeah, and I understand that they have no cap space right now and that they've got to make some moves to figure that out. But when you're consistently seeing these other contending teams making moves that are making them better and we're not hearing anything from the Chiefs, it gets a little frustrating and concerning because they are the defending Super Bowl champions, but the way they're currently constructed, there's holes on this roster that they need to figure out how to fill.
No, I understand the frustration. Absolutely, there are holes on the roster. I just think, would we rather have last week if they would have jumped out and overpaid for somebody, then we fast forward a week later and see that the market is what it is now and they've overpaid? Like, to me, I would rather them be in the position they are right now than if they would have reached on somebody, went ahead and cut Sammy Watkins early and spent a little bit too much money on, you know, you name the position, you name the player, whatever it may have been, and then we fast forward, here we are, we're seeing, wow, they could have got this guy for a lot cheaper. Why did they overpay? Like, that's a way worse position to be in, obviously, than, to me, where they sit right now. I just think we got to be a little bit, you know, patient going forward and see. Yeah, if they're not doing anything, we reevaluate, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to say they're going to have a great offseason, but I just think it's way too early to make that the determination right now when it comes to that. Now, you mentioned, you know, the Chiefs are coming off a Super Bowl win. It doesn't mean, you can just be status quo entirely. Harrison Butker, Chiefs kicker, was on with Fesco in the morning, and he was asked what makes him confident that the Chiefs can repeat in 2020.
Well, I just think, you know, with Patrick as a quarterback and seeing his work ethic and his drive, I mean, there's going to be no letting up and taking our foot off the gas pedal. And obviously with Coach Reed at the top, he's already been talking about how he's you know, studying film and getting ready for next year and trying to do it again. So I think we just have the culture in our facilities is just that of, you know, we're going to put our head down, work hard, keep doing our thing. And, like, we know what works to win games. We know that process, and we're just going to repeat it and hopefully get a couple more rings.
So that was Butker just talking about that. Obviously, confidence in Andy Reid and what they're able to do. And it's, I think there's a ton of motivation, obviously, still within everybody there. It doesn't mean what this offseason does or doesn't happen on the Chris Jones route that won't impact the team on the field. But I don't think anybody's worried about the drive, if you will, of coaching staff and of players whatsoever just because they won a ring a year ago. I think, nope, that's far from anybody's concern.
Well, I would say that there's always a few players that's going to be concerned with. Whether we like to pretend like the Chiefs are different, there won't be a single player who has lost motivation. But the key players in this, Mahomes and Reed, you know, Mahomes is thinking, I could be one of the greatest of all time. I'm one of the youngest quarterbacks ever to win a Super Bowl. And I could just keep piling on with Andy Reid as my coach. And Andy Reid waited so damn long for one. No doubt he's going to keep staying hungry. But to pretend like there'll be no players that rest on their laurels a little bit is probably a bit rich. I mean, aren't we just
I don't know. I mean, the key guys that we consider to be foundational people. You mentioned Mahomes and Reid. I know I would like Kelce, Hill, Clark, Matthew. I guess, and maybe I'm wrong. But I think the key guys that matter the most on this roster, I'll throw Chris Jones in that. We don't know if he's going to be on it or not, but yeah, I'm not. There's a couple guys that I have no doubts whatsoever.
Sure. No, there's a few I have zero doubts about. And you're right. The makeup of the team, like Tyrann Mathieu, is not going to be the kind of guy who's just like, nah, I'm good. See you, fellas. No, he is definitely not that type of player. And I think we've seen that Frank Clark doesn't strike as that kind of player because that happens with a lot of guys who just get paid. It's not always a Super Bowl. Some guys just get a big fat check and are like, well, deuces. Just going to kick it back here for a little bit. And we saw that Frank Clark was still motivated at the right level. But I just think it's always like it's putting on blinders if we pretend like no one's going to do that. But the important part, like you said, is if you ranked the seven most important players on this team and you included Chris Jones, I wouldn't worry about a single one of them being that guy, the guy who rests on a Super Bowl win.
100%. All right, let's get to the last minute.
Last minute.
The Rams unveiled their new logo this week. It's terrible. Twitter has just been universally trashing it pretty much. But Rams executive Kevin DeMoff is trying to funnel the hate into a positive direction. He told USA Today that if the L.A. Telethon fundraiser the Rams held Tuesday topped $2 million in donations to the benefit, he would spend time on a social media video reading the most hateful tweets about their new logo.
Hey, that's awesome. Good for him. Like, reading mean tweets like what we've seen on late-night television, at least they're having fun with it and obviously trying to help people in the area. And good on them. That's smart. Just go ahead and own it.
First, they're not all terrible. Just the text one that says Los Angeles Rams is okay. The rest are trash. The one that looks like hair I can't get past. The one that looks like some combination of, like, the Chargers and the Rams logo, but like horrible Karen hair, I can't get past. I'm just like stuck on that one forever.
The
like
Ram
weird
is good,
geode. It's all right. I don't hate it. It's okay. I'm worried, man. Other teams are going to screw this up. The Chargers are like, oh, the logo's going to be something. I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And it was just like they took away some of the navy blue. You're like, whew. I thought you were going to move away from the lightning bolt. We're going to really screw this thing up. But I'm glad they're willing to do something. But you know what they should do, Serta, is if instead of raising $2 million, they raise $3 million, they let us design a better logo that doesn't look like trash.
Yeah, I mean, there's already been another one designed on social media that just looks better.
They spent all this money from a marketing firm that then gave them reasons why they shaped this a certain way, and they had to come up with reasons for it and wasted all this money when they could have just had the public out there doing some Photoshop, coming up with logos. This happens. And there's like seven teams that are tweaking their logo or uniforms. The Chargers, you mentioned, with their logo. The Bucks, I guess, are going to make some tweaks as well. So it's weird. There's a bunch of teams making changes, but not the case in KC. best uniforms in football.
That feels like a biased opinion.
Not at all. Not at all, Cody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.